Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We'll be picking up on page 38, where the heading is Bear Fruit. And with a quick reminder that the phone lines are not open today, we'll get underway. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about great expectations and what we can expect to happen in our lives as a result of Christ Jesus coming to live inside of us. And that's exactly what happened when we came to Christ. We were made alive. We were born again. We were transferred out of darkness into light. But even more important is the fact that God sent His Spirit to take up residence in us. So if you're a believer today, Christ Jesus is alive, living in your heart through His Holy Spirit. You're never alone. Wherever you are, He's right there with you. That's good news. Take comfort in that. But because He's there, you can expect some things from Him as far as your life is concerned. We've talked about the first two, assurance of salvation. You know, that's the number one question on the Basic Gospel broadcast, along with forgiveness, is how can I know for sure that I'm saved? Well, it's the Spirit's job in our lives to give us that assurance, to confirm to us each and every day. And that's exactly what Paul says that he does in his letter to the Romans, that God's Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that indeed we are children of God. So because Christ is alive living in us, we can walk in assurance. That's good news, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The second thing we talked about was the fact that we can learn to say no to sin. We all struggle with temptation in this world. It's there at every turn. It comes and knocks at our door. It just stands in front of us and bids us to come. It's a struggle sometimes to say no. And a lot of times we give in because we're trying to fight those temptations through human effort. But with Christ living in us, and as we learn to abide in Him, we can expect to say no to sin. And then this third thing that we're going to talk about in this chapter is the expectation of bearing fruit, to experience the fruit of the Spirit. I've taught a lot of men's Bible studies through the years, and it's just a great joy to sit down with a group of guys and to open up the Word of God and to do so in a real genuine and authentic way. You know, here's what's going on in my life. How does the gospel apply? And a lot of times, guys really feel the pressure. It's not that we all don't feel the pressures of life, but a lot of guys really feel that pressure trying to provide income for their families and make sure that they can pay for college and pay the car payment and all of those sort of things. And that causes fear and anger and restlessness on the inside. And so I've asked guys time and time again, if you could ask of God for one thing, what would it be? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is peace. If I could just get a little peace in this world. Well, we can expect to have peace because that's a fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is alive living inside of us. And so as we learn to abide in Him, we're going to bear the fruit of peace. We're going to have that peace in our life regardless of the situations that we experience in life. So let's take a deeper look at what the Scripture has to say about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to start in Galatians 5:22. We actually read this passage last week, but I think it's worth reading again. Paul said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Boy, that's one we could all use, isn't it? Self-control. Yeah. Well, that's a fruit of the Spirit. And he goes on to say, against such things there is no law. So there's no law against experiencing peace. There's no law against expressing love toward other people. There's no law against being patient with others. There's no law against self-control. There's nothing prohibiting this as far as the law is concerned. As a matter of fact, the law would applaud these things. Because the law would say, hey, if you're loving your neighbor, then you're not going to be violating these rules and regulations that I've laid down for you to abide by. If you're experiencing peace and contentment in this world, you're not going to be coveting your neighbor's stuff and all of that sort of thing. So the law is going to applaud these qualities and characteristics in our life. But we, you know, in this passage, Paul says they're the fruit of the Spirit. Why do you think he describes these nine characteristics as the fruit of the Spirit, Richard? What is he getting at there?
It's the basis of this relationship that we have, or the result of the relationship, I should say, and it just happens. And if you don't get lost in the science of what plants do when they grow and bear fruit, you just watch them, and one day there it is. And that's what the Spirit does with us. You know, it brings forth its own fruit in each of us.
Yeah. So the Spirit is the source.
Yes.
You know, it's not that we said, hey, here are the things that we should work toward and go out through human effort and try to bring into our souls peace. Mm-hmm. It just isn't going to work that way. We have to have a source of that. And Christ Jesus is the source of that peace in our lives. He's the one that grows it in us.
Yes.
So that we can bear it and others can benefit from it. And that's the great thing about fruit. You know, you have an orange tree or a lemon tree. Well, the fruit is for the benefit of others. Mm-hmm. And so we get to benefit from it, but others get to benefit from the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as well. So the Holy Spirit is the source. He's the one that's producing this through us. We just bear it. We're just fruit hangers, so to speak. He's the one that brings the life of that to us. So this really is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we look here in the United States and really around the world, especially with all that's going on, and we just say, what in the world is going on with people? You know, how is it that somebody could get in a truck and drive through a crowd of people killing 82? What's going on in their minds? Why can't they just have a little love in their hearts? Well, because they don't have Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's the source of those things. And so if we're going to be a virtuous people, if we're going to be people of character, people that can choose just intrinsically the things that are good and beneficial for others, that's not going to come through our own doing. That's something that Christ is going to have to produce in and through us. And that's what Paul is saying here. We've been given the gift of God's Spirit. God's Spirit is living in us. It's a permanent dwelling place for God's Spirit. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And while he's in there in our hearts, he's going to be doing something. And we get the benefit of bearing the fruit of his work in and through us. That's good news.
Absolutely. Well, friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday teaching series from the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. It's available with each week's study notes at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, we have a gift for you when you sign up for ministry emails. It's our ebook, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, a powerful resource to set you on the path of freedom and joy in Christ Jesus. Get your copy today. Simply click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and we would love to see your name on that list. Now again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And I'm sure, you know, when Paul was writing this letter to the Galatians and talking about walking in the Spirit and the byproduct, the benefit of walking in the Spirit, these nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, he had in mind what Jesus had to say to his disciples. And in John 15, this is right before Jesus was going to be betrayed in the garden, was going to be handed over, crucified, dead, buried, and then on the third day was going to be raised back to life. So this was right before that was going to happen, and he was imparting all kinds of information to his disciples, preparing them for what was going to lie ahead as far as their lives were concerned. And he gave a great illustration on how the Christian life is really supposed to work. And that really is the overarching question of this study. How does the Christian life really work? How is it supposed to work? Well, in this illustration, the vine and the branch in John 15, Jesus really lays it out for us. And in John 15:5, he said this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So these two passages tie together. They're hand in glove. So Jesus is the vine, we are branches. So if you really look into the Greek in this, it just says we're branch. I mean, that's our nature. We're not a life giver. We're a life receiver and a conduit for life for others. Jesus is the source of life, and he's alive living in us. So he's the vine. We're the branches. If we remain in him and he in us, then we will bear much fruit. So there's the key to experiencing fruit. There's the key to abundant living in Christ Jesus. So what in the world does it mean to remain or abide in Christ?
Well, this is really an interesting word. It's used quite a bit. It's always a relationship word. But John puts a twist on it. The Apostle John has a unique point of view here. And for him, it has to do with being united with someone, to be one in heart and mind and spirit. And I'm just going to read a couple of short passages. He uses, the translators sometimes say remain, sometimes they use live. Okay, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me." It's that same word. "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me that says is doing his work. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." That's in John's first letter. "Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." The easiest way for me to think about what this word means in the way that John uses it is marriage. I mean, the children of God have been declared to be the bride of Christ. That's what the church is, the bride of Christ. And in this relationship we have with Jesus, because we remain, he remains in us, we remain in him, we bear much fruit. Well, this goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. Right? He said, be fruitful and multiply. I've created marriage for Adam and Eve, and their relationship with me is going to be good for the whole world that I've created. And now what he is offering the disciples is he's saying, you know, in just a couple of hours, just a few hours, I'm going to restore a relationship that we thought, that you thought was horribly broken, irreparably broken. And instead, what I'm going to do is marry you again. And now we get to bear fruit because of that.
Man, that's powerful to think that there's that union. And it's like, you know, in marriage, when God said to Adam and Eve to be fruitful, that the two of you will become one flesh. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of living in this new entity.
Yes.
You were individuals at one point. Now you've come together and you're one. You and her and you, and it's kind of a union.
Yes.
As far as our relationship with Christ is concerned, it's described as a union as well.
Yes.
But we are united in spirit.
Yes.
So his spirit and our spirit have become one. So we're living in Christ. Christ is living in us. So that's the definition of a Christian, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it says, if you remain. A lot of folks will look at that and say, wow, you know, there's something that we've got to be doing, you know, behaviorally or that sort of thing. And he's really just making a declaration, isn't he?
Yes.
If you're attached to the vine and the vine is attached to you, then you're going to be bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature. That's the byproduct of this relationship. So if you receive Christ, then you are in the vine. You're living in the vine. And the vine is living in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about. And the result of that is bearing fruit. And apart from me, he says, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
So your nature is simply branch.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not attached to a vine, if you're not attached to a trunk, you're just going to wither and die.
Yeah.
And that's what happened when Adam and Eve chose to sin in the garden. They declared their independence from God. And when they do, it was like they were detached, severed from the vine. And that's why they had no life. There was no fruit. There was nothing coming through them like it was before that moment. Mm-hmm. And when we come into this world, we're severed from the vine. We're dead spiritually. So there's no fruit of the Spirit showing up in our lives as lost sinners. When we're born again, we're attached to the vine, and now that's where life is for us. Jesus has become our very life, and we live in him. He lives in us. We bear much fruit.
Yeah.
That's how the Christian life is really supposed to work.
Absolutely. I want to point you to something I was talking about just a few minutes ago. We have a wonderful resource for you, our ebook called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. And for freedom in Christ, for joy, you know, there's a contrast between joy and happiness. You know, happiness can be robbed from you at any time and for just about any reason. And for many occasions these days, happiness kind of goes out the door. But nothing can ever rob you of the joy that you find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this resource, our ebook called Forgiveness, The Door to Life, will lead you along that path to joy and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it doesn't cost you a penny. All you have to do is sign up for our emails here at Basic Gospel. Just go to basicgospel.net. There's a little blue tab up in the upper left corner of the website, the front page. It says subscribe. Interestingly enough, that's the one that you click. Just click subscribe, and we'll get that ebook available to you right now.
Yes, indeed. Hope many people will take advantage of that offer. It's a wonderful little resource, and it really, I think, sets the table as far as your relationship with Christ is concerned.
Yeah.
That's where you have to start. If you want to experience the love of God in your life, you have to go to the cross where it was demonstrated.
Yeah.
And that's what that booklet is all about, is showing you the love of God that was fully demonstrated to you through the death of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. If you want to learn how to abide in the vine, you have to come to a conclusion regarding that forgiveness thing
indeed.
First.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
So once again, click subscribe, upper left corner at basicgospel.net.
So Jesus is the vine, we're branches. Mm-hmm. He's the source of life, we're the receivers of life and the conduits of life. So as we abide, as we remain, as we live in Jesus Christ himself, we're going to be bearing fruit. The first thing that Paul describes in the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Yeah.
So abiding, living, remaining in Christ is really another way to describe this walk of faith, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we are trusting, we are depending upon, we are relying upon, resting in Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
Yes.
So in this relationship of abiding, the fruit of that is love. So if we want to have love for others, if we want to bring love into this world, we have to be tied to the source of it. And we're tied to the source of it by faith. And as we walk in faith, we're going to see that faith being expressed in love toward others. So that is great news. It harkens back to the Old Testament where, you know, we see the law summed up in these two, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how in the world are you going to do that? It doesn't look like the world's being very successful with that right now, and all throughout human history, the world hasn't been successful with those two things. Why? Because we haven't been tied to the vine. We haven't been connected to the source of those very things. But once we're connected and the source of love is in us, then we can expect to see that love flowing out of us. It's the same with peace. As the Bible says, it's the peace of God that surpasses understanding. The world looks at it and doesn't think of it in any terms of logic. It just doesn't make sense to the world. How can you experience peace when you're going through all of this heartache? And there have been Christians just throughout history that have experienced the peace of God in the most horrific of circumstances. How did they experience the peace of God? Because they were living in Christ. They were in the world, but not of the world. They had recognized that greater is he who is in them than he who is in the world. So their focus was on Christ. And as a result of that focus, that faith, that reliance upon Jesus, they experienced a peace that passes understanding. Do you want that peace in your life? Are you looking to experience a calmness, a rest, an anxiety-free experience as you walk through the circumstances of life? Well, there's only one place to find it, and that's in the Lord Jesus. And if you're a believer, you live in him, allow him to produce that fruit of peace in your heart. Joy, as you were mentioning, joy is something that transcends happiness.
Yes.
Happiness is normally tied to our circumstances. So we are happy when things are going the way we want them to go. In marriage, a lot of people get married and they say in their hearts, and they may say it verbally, that you're supposed to make me happy, wife, or you're supposed to make me happy, husband. Well, that doesn't work out so well, because they're not always in the mood to make you happy.
What?
Your happiness is like a roller coaster, just going up and down and all over the place. But joy can be had regardless of the circumstances. It transcends the circumstances. Why? Because it comes from the Lord. It comes from above. It comes from Christ Jesus himself living in us. Patience. It's the same thing. It's interesting, in the New Testament, there are two words for the word patience. One has to deal with circumstances. Being patient in traffic. That's difficult.
That's different.
The other word has to deal with patience toward people. And that's even more difficult. How are we going to pull that off? We can't do it through human effort. Most of us will just walk away, but not as we abide in the vine of Christ. The patience that he has for us, he pours out into our lives. We get to experience that. Kindness. And kindness isn't just a disposition that we have toward other people. Kindness is actually an action that we take on behalf of other people to benefit them. So the love of God is kind. And so what that means is that we look and see what the needs of other people are. We roll up our sleeves and we act on their behalf to benefit them for their good, for their well-being. That's a fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit is going to work that kindness into us. Goodness as well, faithfulness. That willingness to stick with Christ and to stick with what his word has to say, regardless of the circumstances. There's this self-control. We're all looking for self-control, aren't we? And we think it comes through self-control, but it's actually a fruit of the Spirit. If you abide in Christ, you will see self-control starting to happen in your lives. That's why it's so important to understand that God initiates, we respond. That's what this vine and branch relationship is all about. We live in Christ. Christ lives in us. He initiates. He's the source. We receive. We bear. That's the good news. That's how this thing is supposed to work. That's how the Christian life is really supposed to work. So, here's the good news. Christ Jesus is alive, living in us. Because he's found a home in your heart, expect him to do great things in and through you.
Yes, this study is just filled with good news. Folks, we're glad you joined us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book and study guide, along with the weekly study notes, are available at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel needs your help to keep the good news on the air. We ask you to join with us today by clicking Donate on our website at basicgospel.net. That's our regular website, basicgospel.net. There is a donate link on every page at the website. Again, basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis wishing you a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday for a live edition.